Butterfly, oh Butterfly, Lamar's here. Hey, good to see you guys. You know, I just love old hymns. So I'm not going to sing the song all the way through, but I just like to do a little bit. But I mean, I like the old hymns. Well, first of all, it reminds me of my mom and my dad, but they're so simple and like so to the point. I just like them. Like this song here. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. How about this one? How about this one? I love to tell a story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Oh, I love to tell a story, because I know it's true. It satisfies my longing like nothing else can do. I love to tell a story. It has a lot to do with what we're going to be talking about this morning. Did you know that you have a story, that I have a story? We all have a story. If you're living, if you're breathing, if you're with me to now, whether you're with me or not, you have a story. Before you were born, when you were born, throughout your life, God created you with a story. And we're going to be talking about that. What does that mean to tell a story? All right. And what that means is that we go through life and we hit mountains, we hit blockades, we have turmoil in our lives, and that creates wounds. We become wounded, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning, from the wounded to a warrior. And that's you, and that's me, from wounded to warrior. You were wounded at one time, but now you're a warrior. Now, there may be those out there that are still wounded. I'm glad you're here, because there is repentance, there's reconciliation, there's comfort here this morning. So good to have you guys. Let's see who's with us here this morning in comments. First of all, on Instagram, L Butterfly, good to have you. IA Marone, good to have you. Looks like Chris, good to have you guys, girls. God bless you all. Let's see who we got. Got Amanda, good morning. Kay's here. King is here. So good to have you guys. Robin is here. Huge hugs and prayers to you guys. All right, let's get into it. Let's get into it. Scars. Scars. A big part of Scripture. It's a big part of the life of Jesus. And yet no one that I know of, not many preachers have talked about this. And God laid this in my heart. And this is what I want to share with you guys. Scars. How do scars fit into our lives today? You have a scar. I have a scar. We all have scars. If you're living, if you're breathing, you have a scar. A scar is something that manifests. It's an emblem. It's a plaque over a wound that's been healed. Your scar is not your wound. A scar happens after the wound is inflicted and the wound is healed. I want you to understand this. A lot of people say, well, I have scars, I'm scarred. But they look at scars wrong. We have looked at scars wrong. I want to talk about two women this morning, Jackie and Michelle. Jackie was a small child, had a single mother who was an alcoholic. In an alcoholic rage, one morning, the alcoholic mother threw acid into little Jackie's face and scarred her face. disfigured. And then there was Michelle. Michelle, as a young girl, was in a horrific car accident, face all scarred. Two women with scars, yet each went a different direction, doing two different things with their scars. And this is what I want to talk about today. God be with us. Give us the word that you want us to know about scars this morning. Put your fingers here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe, Jesus said. That's in John 20:27. Don't disbelieve, but believe. Why? Why did Jesus want them to touch him? Because of his scars. Because of his nail-scarred hands. Because of his feet. They put nails in his hands, thorns in his head, in his feet. Opened up his side with the spear. Now, we don't know much about the resurrection, but what we do know is that Jesus showed himself after the resurrection. He was brought back to life. We know that. But what we don't really focus on is, what was this all about? First of all, why did he come back and show himself to us, to people, to mankind, once he was crucified, once he was put in the grave, once he was resurrected? In the midst of that resurrection, why did Jesus see fit to come back and do and talk about the things that he did? Why? He was in the same body, yet it was a changed body. He was still human, it would seem, but yet he was glorified, or on his way to glorification. We don't really understand that 100%. I don't care what anybody says. But yet there's one thing that we do know for certain. One fact is that Jesus still had his scars. Human body, spiritual body, new body, old body. It was morphing. It was a transformation. We understand that. We don't know the details. Our little pea brains can't understand it, but we do know, because Jesus told us that he had scars. He still had his scars. Not only that, but he showed his scars. He could pass through doors, he walls, he could eat solid food. Transformed, a new body from an old body. Glorified, yes, he was glorifying God, the Father. But the one thing that he took with him was the scars. Why were scars so important? We're going to talk about that. And why is it so important for you? Why are your scars, I believe, for you to understand your scars, what they are, why you have them, and what to do with them, I think is so important to the kingdom of God, so important to our spiritual walk, for us to understand this morning. Let's go to Scripture. Let's go to John 20:27. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting, believe. In other words, touch my scars. This is Luke 24:39-40. Behold my hands, my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Scripture says that when they first saw Jesus, when they first heard him, they didn't really know who he was. But then all of a sudden they did know. because of his scars. That was proof. That was solid proof. So let's talk about this. What's the first thing we do? Don't hide your scars. Too many people want to hide their scars. You know, church, the modern day church, they want us to hide our scars. They don't want you to say that you have scars. They want you to believe that somehow when you accepted Christ, everything became hunky-dory. Yes, you're washed by the blood, but your scars are still there. They want you to put on this religious makeup you put on this religious makeup.
I just watched Joel Osteen. I am so happy. I am so my best luck.
You know.
No, there's nothing wrong with me.
Let's talk about these two girls. From wounded to warrior. Wounded to warrior. You've been wounded. But now you're about to become a warrior. Your scars. Perhaps you have them somewhere on your body. But you hide them. Come on, let's be real. Can we be real this morning? I have scars. When I was growing up, I had acne on my face, and I went in and had this stuff done where they can sand your skin, anything not to have these scars. And I understand you want, if you can do something about them so that, you know, maybe you're disfigured, whatever. Yeah, I understand. I get all that. I'm not putting anybody down for wanting to look better. That's not what I'm talking about. But I want to talk about these two women and let you understand exactly the different directions people go with their scars. So Jackie, who was the daughter of the alcoholic mother who threw acid on little Jackie's face, became disfigured. She grew up wearing those scars. Michelle grew up to be an actress. She had a disfigured face. And she went to all kinds of plastic surgery to correct her face, to get rid of the scars. This is a parable. I don't want you to take this for face value, because I don't want you to judge me thinking I'm judging others because they have a scar and they're trying to subdue their scar. This is not what I'm talking about. I want to dive deep into this spiritually. You see, Jackie accepted Christ when she was 14 years old, a little girl with scars on her face. She didn't have the money to fix the scars. Michelle was an actress. She got some jobs. She had some money. She came from a well-to-do family. They could send her to plastic surgery and after plastic surgery. And her scars got better. But it wasn't the fact that they both had scars, because if you looked at Michelle long enough and deep enough, you could tell she still had some scars, though it wasn't as bad as Jackie's. But they both were scarred. The difference is what they did with their scars, how they used their scars. When they looked in the mirror, how did they see their scars? You see, Jackie, who was abused as a little girl, alcoholic mother, but accepted Christ at the age of 14, she looked at her scars and she saw it as an example, as a way she could testify to people, because they would always look at her and she would say, "I guess you're looking at my scars, aren't you?" And so with tears in her eyes, she would tell her story. Her scars weren't not her shame. They were her testimony. Folks, you have scars and I have scars. We're going to be talking about what your scars are. but they are not your shame. They are your testimony. Matter of fact, let's go to what some of these scars are. Some of these scars are wounds from abuse. You've been abused as a child, and maybe even as a teenager. Maybe you weren't abused till you were an adult, but you got into an abusive relationship, either with your spouse or with even your children or your family or your friends. It's been abusive, mental, emotional, physical, sexual, even religious. Yeah, there's many people I've interviewed, I've talked to, I prayed with that have been abused spiritual, religious through religion. So confused. And folks, there's two things that if the devil can get to a person, there's two things that are their core values, which is their sexuality. If the devil can destroy that, and their belief in God, the religious system, if he can destroy that, he has a person. But what happens is the blood of Jesus, when it comes down, it heals our wounds and leaves the scars. But we look at the scars as something that we don't want anyone to see, when we need to wear them as a badge, as a monument, as a plaque, to say, this is what Jesus did for me. Why? Because Jesus can show you the scars that he has on his hands and his feet, and that's what he did for me. So what can I do for Jesus? Can I not do the same thing that he did for me? Can I not show the people my scars? And they may be scars that people don't even see on the outside, but they're there on the inside. I grew up as a little boy. I loved my mother, but she comes from an alcoholic family. She was abandoned, and so I was abused. So I grew up as a little boy, not understanding as a young man relationships with women, and it was abusive relationships verbally and physically, but on both parts. I didn't understand. I was lost. I was confused. I was hurt. Was I a Christian? Yes, but it did not remove the scars. The reason is because these scars were still wounds. But when my wounds were healed, when I went back to Jesus, see, I was saved at 7, but when I went back and Jesus healed me, because I took my wounds and laid them at the altar. As a 19-year-old boy, broken, confused. Lord, I know I'm your child. I know you love me, but I'm broken. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle relationships. I don't understand any of this. And I laid it at the altar. And God turned my wounds into a warrior. He healed me, folks. So therefore, I have the scars from the wounds. And you say, David, what's the point of this? Why are you telling me this? Because when I meet somebody, a guy who, especially, who is an abuser, an abusive relationship, I can show compassion, not compromise. Compassion. I can show understanding. I can sit there and talk to them. I can understand why they say the things they do. I can understand why they look at the world the way that they do, because I've been there. I've done that. And God healed me. I use my scars as a weapon to defeat the enemy. You see, you can be saved. There's someone out there listening to me right now saying, David, that's me. That's me. I was saved. I am saved, but I've had these wounds right now where you are, right now where you are. Don't wait another moment. Get out of chat. Get on your knees. Say, God, here's my hurt. I was abused as a child, mentally, physically, sexually. Maybe you were abused religiously. Right now where you are, God, I'm giving you my wounds. Give it to him. And he's healing people all over the world, I believe right now, that's with us. Healing people all over the world. Because he's turning your wounds into scars. And your scars are going to be your weapons. Your scars are your weapons. Too many times we have been through things and God's delivered us. And yet we don't want to talk about it. We don't want anybody to know what we went through. Folks, if I didn't want you to know what I went through, and it's hard sometimes, let me tell you, I wouldn't be here right now. We've been 10 years doing this broadcast. And if I was not willing to lay out my scars and even tell you what my wounds have been, and still are in some cases, life's a journey. If I'm not willing to do that, I wouldn't be here with you. I'd be preaching at you. I wouldn't be talking with you. I wouldn't be hurting with you. I wouldn't be rejoicing with you. But I don't preach. I reach. I reach to others that have been where I've been. I reach to others that are willing to take this journey that few want to take. If you have scars, you use them. This is my scar. I wear it proudly. Now, wait a minute. I'm not proud that I was abused. I'm not proud that I went through that. And by the way, addiction is not a scar. Addiction is not a wound. If you have an addiction, we all do. We're addicted to something because we want to medicate ourselves. When we start hurting, we're all addicted to something. All right? Went to a buffet last night. You should see my addiction. I just ate too much. We're addicted to something. But addiction is not a wound. Addiction is not a scar. Addiction is used to cover up the hurt from a wound. So if you're addicted and you're dealing with your addiction, and by the way, you can be saved and still be addicted, but you cannot be happy in your addiction. Let me say it again. You can be saved and still have an addiction to something, but you cannot be happy, satisfied in that addiction, which means that you're constantly working on it. You're constantly asking God to be with you, to help you walk through it. Don't let anybody ever tell you because it's hard to give up cigarettes or, you know, you took that extra drink, you're going to hell. Don't do it. Religion does that. They want to tell you you should have no scars. Simply not true. While they're out there popping pills with prescription drugs like crazy, and they want to come against, you know, people that are struggling with alcohol and cigarettes, and they're taking prescription drugs. Oh, why? Because Big Pharma gave it to me? Are you kidding me? That is so absurd. I don't want to hear some preacher in a pulpit, and I've heard it, talk about drug addicts and talk about, you know, prostitutes and all these people that have these issues, and yet they're up there in the dark, you know, looking at pornography, or they're stuffing their fat mouth with food because they have an addiction to food, or they want to gossip because they have addiction to gossip, addiction to power, control, money. We all struggle with it. But if you struggle with it, identify it right now. What is your wound? Why are you hurting? What happened? Lay it at the cross of Jesus right now. We don't need a big ceremony, folks. You just need to give it to God right now. God, heal my wounds. Take it. Just like that, he heals. Once he heals the wound, you have the scar. Jesus' blood covers your sins, but not your scars. I'm going to say that again. The blood of Jesus covers your wounds, heals you, but it does not cover your scars. Folks, your scars is proof of who you are. I am my daddy's child because I can prove it. How can you prove it, David? How can you? I'll prove it because you want to see my scars just like Jesus proved who he was to the people when he manifested himself. I want to show you proof. Look at my scars. Look what I took for you. Look what I did for you. I died for you. I'm resurrecting for you. Here's the proof, the scars. They're your proof. Don't let anyone ever condemn you because you have scars, make fun of you. Your scars are a reminder. A reminder of what? I'll tell you my scars. They remind me of the grace of God. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, folks, what I have come through, where I have been, I should not be here right now. I shouldn't be here. It's a miracle that I'm even here. Can you say the same thing? Can you tell me that possibly you have gone through things that logically you shouldn't be here right now? Miracles? You see, people that go to church that are religious, that are lukewarm, they don't talk about their issues. They don't talk about their scars. They just want to talk about sweet Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is sweet. But Jesus is a lot more than sweet. I don't need a sweet Jesus. That'll give me truth decay. I don't need cavities in my spirit. I want truth. Jesus is more than sweet. He's more than some La La Land cotton candy figure that people raise their hands on Sunday morning and worship to the latest, I don't know, Christian hits. And everyone sounds like the other one. Don't get me started on that. I'm okay now. I just had my 30 minutes of worship and my 15 minutes of, you know, that cool pastor talking about all these things. By the way, he's pretty cute too. I'm okay now. I can leave church. I can go home. Never show him the scars. Because they think that the scars are actually ugly. Not true. Your scars is a big part of your beauty. I'm going to say it again. Your scars is a big part of your beauty. If you will just acknowledge your scars, if you will not be ashamed of your scars. And what else can our scars do? They glorify. Your scars glorify God. Say, how do they glorify, David? How do my scars glorify? Because without the scars, you wouldn't have the wounds. Without the wounds, you would have no need for God. And you thank God that you do have a need for him. Because you don't know it. I don't know. Why do we show up every Sunday morning here? Why are we hungry for the word? Why do we do what we do? Why is not Joe or Sam or Mary or Louise tuned into this? Why are they? Not because we're here. That's all I'm saying. But it can be anywhere as long as you're seeking God. You're hungry. You want to go out on a higher level, which you came in. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, you have to be here. But the fact you're here tells me that you're hungry, that things aren't right in your life. I mean, if they were perfect, come on, you wouldn't be here. And if they were perfect, you wouldn't need God. But they ain't perfect. So we use our scars to glorify God. We say, we glorify you. You're my God. You made me with a story. Now I'm glorifying you, giving you all the glory. In Jesus' name. If you are a person that needs healing this morning, and you've been hearing this message, and God's been talking to you about repentance, unto salvation, I open this up to you. I believe there's people all over the world for the past years that's been saved because you all have come together, because you all have prayed, because you all have had the faith, and people will live in heaven forever with God. I believe that. And I believe this morning that there are people here that have been saved, but you have the wounds. And there's the altar. We have an altar this morning. And we're going to kneel at that altar. Now, maybe you can't physically get on your knees. I don't know your situation, but you can get on your knees in your heart. Your heart has knees. Your heart has an altar. And by the way, we're going to have communion in underground. So I hope you can make it with us. Just go to davidhebner.tv. We're going to have communion. And we're going to talk about what is communion. And we're going to talk about some of these scars and some of these things. Talk to each other. We need to talk to each other. It's important. But I want to present this altar this morning to you. And I want you to take it seriously, because you don't know if tomorrow is promised to you or not, or for me. So what you decide right this in the next few minutes could be life-changing. Either repentance unto salvation or repentance unto healing. Say, Lord, I love you, and I believe you did send your son to die for me. I stand on the blood of Jesus. I'll follow you all the days of my life the best I can. Be with me, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, you are saved. You say, David, I was wounded a long time ago, and my wounds are still open. I need to be healed, and I want to be healed right now. I've been using different things to medicate myself. I don't want to do it anymore. You just lay that wound right at the altar right now. Could it be the wound of shame? Could be the wound of physical, sexual, emotional abuse. Could it be the wound of abandonment? Whatever it is, whatever hurts, just lay it right there at the altar. There's people right now on their knees with tears coming down their face saying, David, I'm being healed right now. God's healing me. Sing the song with me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved, it saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, Lord, but now I've found. I was blind, but now I see. Perhaps you've been saved, perhaps you've been healed, but you have been embarrassed to show your scars. You've hidden your scars as if it's some type of ugly thing. But God's saying this morning, you're going to start showing those scars, baby. And when you do, people are going to come to you that are going through what you went through, wounded. And you're going to be able to walk with them and talk with them, because you're going to show them your scars. And your scars are going to be proof. They're going to be a testimony. And to glorify. Because you have a story. I have a story. I love to tell the story. It'll be my theme in glory. To tell the old story of Jesus and his love of Jesus and his love. I love to tell a story. I believe that there's been some healing going on this morning. And, if there is, I want to hear about it. I'm going to try to bring Shanita on to see what. Yeah, I'm going to send her the link right now. And I want to ask you guys, if possibly you could put into chat what your scar is, what your story is, what your journey has been. I'll read it over the air if you'll be kind enough and honest enough to just share with us what that is in chat and also on Instagram. I'm so glad you guys show up on Instagram in the mornings. God bless you all. Appreciate you. Let's bring in some comments and see what people have to say this morning. Okay, King says, all I have to do is stay true to the Bible and to yourself and pray and share the good book. That's the foundation of it, isn't it? Let's look and see what Kay says here. When my dad beat me and my mom, I was so ashamed. Okay, people don't understand. They don't understand that. When you get beat like that, when you get abused like that, the shame that comes over. But I know that, Kay, you've given it to God. And if you haven't, I believe you have this morning. And there's so many people here that are sharing their story. I don't even know where to start. Let me bring Shanita on, see what she has to say. Good morning.
Wow, good morning. And my heart just goes out to everybody suffering. But what an encouraging word. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any scars that you've hidden, things you didn't want people to know about? Or was there a time that you tried to hide things about you? You thought people would, even though you'd been healed, but people might put you down for it or anything like that?
Definitely. Yeah.
Huh? Definitely. Yeah. Do you agree, because you come from a world of church, do you agree that in some cases the church system, they don't want you to talk about it too much? They don't want I'm talking about after, even after you're healed, they just kind of want to push it into a closet somewhere?
Yeah, I remember how painful it was for JL, who suffered through a divorce. I don't think it was his fault, but the church just never let him use his gift anymore. They just considered him DQ'd, and that was the end of it. And I mean, it was their loss.
Yeah, see, that's another thing, too. JL is a friend of ours, you all, from years ago. Older guy. Gosh, he's in his 90s now. But he went through a divorce. I don't know why he went through a divorce. He was a good Christian man. Mm-hmm. But I saw it in the church, how they shunned him, how they wouldn't let him use his God-given gifts of how he could help so many people, Shanita. Mm-hmm. The church said, no, we don't want you helping people because you went through a divorce. Well, you see, the divorce, the fact he went through it could be his scar. You know, his wound was the hurt that caused the divorce. Mm-hmm. He divorced. He gave that to God, gave that wound to God. God healed it. Now he wears that scar. And he mm-hmm. could have helped other people in the church that were either thinking of a divorce, going through a divorce, or had been divorced. Don't you agree?
Well, absolutely. And I feel like of all the people at that church, he was one of the few that maybe we were most drawn to because he was most vulnerable and real and most hungry for the Lord.
Yeah. I always tell people, you put me in a room and I'll gravitate to the most broken person in that room or people that don't fit in or people that have gone through what I've gone through. I'll never gravitate to someone that thinks they're perfect. I just... you can tell that in my life, but because we're not perfect.
Right.
I want to read this. This is what Ronald says. David, thank you. I feel like I've been walking around with a veil, hiding these scares. They've been so painful. I've been hiding them sometime. Well, Ronald, God bless you. If you're saying this morning that that veil has come down, then you're the person that God told me I was supposed to be talking to. Okay. Now maybe there's a lot of people, but you're one of them. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see who else we have here. What's that?
Well, Ronald, is the pain from the original wound itself or is the pain from trying to keep it hidden from people?
Yeah. Well, I think, I want to hear Ronald, what he says about that, but I can tell you, as far as me, when I'm wounded, it's very difficult for me to praise God and to be around God's word and to be able to be in the sight of God because I'm wounded. You know, I'm like busy, you know. So for me, I have to come clean with God. I got to lay my wounds at the altar, okay? Mm-hmm. So what's left is my scars. Now that presents another problem. What do I do with these scars? I know I was wounded. I know Jesus healed me. But now I've got scars. Do I put makeup on them and hide them? Do I put certain clothes on my body so nobody can see them and then I never talk about them? God forbid I don't want to use them to help people. I want to ignore the fact I have the scars, like they don't exist. I can put them there. So now you got a whole another set of problems because then you have a shame problem and a guilt issue going on. So that becomes something we have to lay at the cross right there. That shame, that guilt, that confusion about our scars. And that's what I believe this morning was also about, Shanita, that people have these scars left over from wounds, but they have guilt and shame on the scars. People rub it in their face, you know. Mm-hmm. Vivacious, is that how you pronounce that? Is it mm-hmm. vivacious? Yeah. I pray for opportunities to share my testimony. Sharing testimonies helps bring back the prodigal. Amen. Vivacious. Vivacious vi. Yeah, vi. Okay, vi. Good point. You don't have to sit and wear your scars. Everybody sees it. You can have your scars, but then you pull them out whenever they're needed, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need to wear them like, you know, I say wear them like a badge. You don't have to. But when you meet somebody in private and the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. speaks to you and speaks to me and says, now's the time, Shanita, to talk about somebody, to talk with mm-hmm. somebody, and tell them your story. Tell them where you came from. Tell them what you went through. Okay. You're mm-hmm. using your scars like that. Mm-hmm. Mira says here.
I'm going to move along to family member conversation we had a while
ago. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I was talking about some wounding from years prior, and she said, well, Mom, you know, time heals all things. Well, I think I'm learning that there are some ingredients in order for time to heal things. You know, if our body doesn't have what's necessary for a bruise to go away, then it won't. Or if a wound gets infected, then until the antibiotic is applied, it won't heal.
Yeah, so what you're saying is there's an application that goes with the healing. A protocol. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like for the scars that I have, I can't just expect that those are automatically going to heal without me taking some action. I can't just say, well, time heals it.
Well, here's the thing. Remember, your scars are not your wounds, so they can't be healed.
Yeah.
You're talking about your wounds.
Right, yeah.
And this is where we get confused. Now, can old wounds be opened back up? You bet. Absolutely. You bet they can. You no longer have a scar. You got a wound. You know, it's hard to help people when you're wounded, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when I'm wounded and I'm going through my stuff, I can't help people. It's only when I give it to God enough where I can get on my feet and start walking again, right? But those become scars. They mm-hmm. become scars. Now, what I don't like the church system or some religious person telling me that in order for me to heal, I've got to come to their Bible study 25 times and read the scripture 10 times at night standing on my head, and I've got to join the church. I don't like that. That doesn't sit well with me. I think God can heal just like that. But I also think, well, it's like you say, there can be a process of the healing too. You know, that's up to God. Let's see what Betty has to say. Betty says, Jesus chose me to go through child trafficking. I got to choose him. Through the scars, I fight for children and animals with abuse. The scars tell me my life, which led me to Jesus. Oh, thank you, Betty. That sums it up right there, doesn't it, Shanita?
Wow.
Yeah, that sums it up right there. My scars tell me who I am. Edith says here, a wonderful sermon, my most recent scar is my stroke. Your sermon reinforces a mission for me to show others through my music that the Lord will heal you. Man, what a testimony that is from Edith, is saying she had a stroke. I assume maybe she's an older gal. And sometimes we think something happens to us like that. It's a stroke. We're older. God's done with us. How can we help other people? She's saying, I'm turning that around. I'm going to take that stroke and use that scar for my weapon. And I'm going to do it through my music, right?
Yeah. Yeah. She's already played a piano concert, believe it or not, at a nursing home. So she's a classic pianist, and she is determined to have that gift and talent restored.
Wow.
Proud of you. See,
the devil hates that, doesn't he? Devil hates that. All right, Shanita, who do we pray for this morning? Praise reports, prayer requests. We got a few minutes, and we're going to have communion too in just a few minutes when we go underground. So I want you guys to go with us.
Yes, we are praying for Kay, for Lori, and for healing for Jill, for Amy's sister-in-law's friend, for Darlene, your musician friend from Nashville days. And Donna just gave me the most encouraging word the other day. 10 years ago, when she had a cancerous tumor removed, they did tell her that she would go blind in her right eye, but she is still believing that God will restore sight. And she said, I am still on God's to-do list.
I love that. I'm on God's to-do list, you know, like honeydew. Yeah. It's, I love that. God has a to-do list and I'm still on it. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, Shanita, we're going to have you underground. We're going to do communion, so I appreciate you so much.
Love you.
Love you. Bless you guys. You all, I just want to encourage you guys, if you would, to please go to davidhebner.tv and sign up and take this time to pray to God and see if there's a ministry he might want you to tie to or to give to, whether it's one time or whatever. That this might be the ministry. If it is, I would welcome it. Only that's between you and God, okay? But I want to open the door and see if you might want to go through it. davidhebner.tv/give. You can text CHOSEN to 91999 or call 844-806-0006 if you'd like to become a partner. And if you need prayer, you can call that phone number, okay? Don't forget David Hebner TV. We have many, many, many shows on there. Go check it out. And it's our underground place of underground. We have live TV and so forth. Okay, I love you guys. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you for being here. And thank you for all the wonderful words that you spoke. And thank you for letting me get out of the way and us get out of the way. Thank you for all of our amazing warriors here, prayer warriors also. I pray for each and every person Shanita mentioned and those that couldn't get to her. We pray for our children, the abandoned, the left behind, the stolen, the kidnapped, the trafficked, the abused. I ask God that you set them free right now. Miracles are happening. They're being set free and they will live. The mother will not get rid of her child. That God, you're changing her mind. Millions of babies are being saved right now, folks. Because we're together praying, asking God for a miracle, all right? Okay, so we are going to go underground in just a few minutes. I want you to go sign up. You can only go underground if you're a member, but it's just the cost of a cup of coffee, please. And it'll help us, encourages me that people, you know, really want to be involved and so forth. So if you'll please go sign up, that would be great. I appreciate it. And we'll see you. Don't forget tomorrow night. We're going to have our show tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to be talking about a religion that people are into right now, and they say that aliens are their God. This is true, folks. It's happening right now. It's getting bigger and bigger. It's going to grow. That their gods are aliens, and it's starting to go mainstream. So I want you to check this out. And we'll see you in just a few minutes on davidhebner.tv. God bless you. And we have the New End Times DVD, 8 hours of me investigating things like Satanism, demonic powers, Illuminati, New World Order, Antichrist, One World Religion, End Times Miracles, Bible Prophecy, and the alien demon connection with L.A. Marzulli. So I want you to text the word CHOSEN to 91999. The word CHOSEN to 91999 and get the End Times Investigation DVD.
How can people be a participant and help you bring the Last Evangelist story to the public?
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, we set it up as the model like the Chosen, where you can go and donate. You can actually be the financier on it. You go to lastevangelist.com and you can donate. You can be an actor, you can be a producer, you can be, or just donate, a special thank you. Hey, everybody. Episode 1 and 2 are finished, but we're now filming episode 3. Would you please help us finance this very important mission. Episode 3 deals with mind control and how government is taking over the church. You can call 844-806-0006, or you can go to lastevangelist.com, or you can text the word evangelist to 71777. You can watch episode 1 and 2 right now on davidhebner.tv. I love you all. Thank you so much. I want you to go to davidhebner.tv. We have 2 exclusive videos that are up. You won't see anyplace else. I'm Dr. Michael Lake. The first one is Technocracy and Tyranny. That's part 2. Part 1 is MK Ultra is used today, program multiples and mass shootings. This is stuff you're not going to get anywhere else. You'll get it on davidhebner.tv. Please support us. If you haven't signed up, go and sign up now. You get a 2 months free if you sign up for a year. And folks, it is not expensive, but it really does help the ministry. And also, you'll get over 700 videos. Spencer, go. What are the names of some of those channels up there?
Yeah, David, we've got the live stream channel. We've got the Russ Dizdar tribute channel, David's Choice in the Spotlight, Spiritual Warfare Training, Alien Demon Connection, the Last Evangelist TV series, originals and exclusives, mind control.
And it's the only place you can see Last Evangelist, davidhebner.tv.